Thank you, Reverend Leader, and everyone involved in today's service for your warm welcome. As a former member and continuing friend of St. George, the invitation to join you for the launch of your anti-bias and inclusivity ministry is an honor and privilege. The world has been fundamentally changed, both by the COVID-19 pandemic and global calls for racial justice. This dual reckoning of different modes of death forced us to think carefully, not only about the means by which life might be made possible under such duress, but also the terms under which we might choose to live. In his July 2020 letter to the diocese, Bishop Andrew emphasized this need for careful self-reflection, challenging us to question our attitudes, beliefs, and assumptions. To dismantle racism in all its forms, he said, takes commitment, community, and faith. It means taking a very long look in the mirror and understanding the part that we each play. It is on this understanding that each of us has a part to play in creating a more just world that I want to focus. The past year has forced me not only to grapple with anti-Black racism, but also to consider the ways in which I may need to learn and grow. I came to this city, like many others, as an immigrant. While I am a descendant of Africans formerly enslaved in the Caribbean, who were removed from their own indigenous lands through conquest, I am not myself native to this land. This parish is located on the traditional territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Seneca, Haudenosaunee, and the Mississaugas of the Credit River, where indigenous peoples have lived for thousands of years. Yet most Torontonians are unaware of this history. In Toronto, where almost 50% of residents were born elsewhere, the city's history begins for many of us with our own arrival. This week, the discovery of the remains of 215 children in Kamloops, British Columbia, makes it clear that anti-Black racism exists alongside anti-Indigenous racism. How can I say that I care about anti-Black racism without feeling deeply the pain of this history, a recent past that still haunts so many Indigenous families? And so I didn't come today to tell you how to act or feel. I came in search of compassion and community, understanding that I cannot ask you for more than I am willing to give. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4, Paul says, "The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." I firmly believe that the more I feel my own pain, the more I should feel other people's suffering, knowing that as God comforts me, He has given me the capacity to comfort others. Since many of us experience life at the intersection of multiple oppressions, as Black, Indigenous, and racialized people and women, we also experience structural hardship in diverse ways. Recognizing these intersections can help us reach across our differences to find points of similarity and relationship. For me, that means building coalition with white and brown women, Black men, Indigenous people, and immigrants. It is this understanding of community as care across our differences that I see in Galatians 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. This doesn't mean our experiences are the same, and it doesn't mean we live in a colorblind society. It means I recognize you as my equal across our differences, and I love you where you are. As a parish embarking on a journey of social justice, you will need to build this community of care with patience and humility. And so I offer you this invocation from Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Thank you so much. So now, Nancy and Craig, I want to thank you specifically for joining me in this conversation as you commit as a parish to implementing the new social justice vestry motion. Before we get started, Nancy, could you just very briefly tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm originally from the Indian subcontinent, and I have been in Canada for the last 22 years and have been worshiping at St. George on Yonge for the last 8 years.
Thank you. And Craig?
Hi, I'm Craig Robertson. I've been in the parish for 20 years now. I was raised in Western Manitoba, as you can see from European stock. My grandfathers were the settlers who turned the soil on the farm in Western Manitoba, and I have lived in our modern urban privileged city all my life.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy and Craig. To start our conversation, I'd like to pose a question to you first, Nancy. What is the meaning and significance of the vestry motion for you as both a Christian and racialized person from the Indian subcontinent?
Well, there has been a lot of change in these matters over the last few years in Canada and especially in Toronto. A lot of progress. But as in the case of any other change management that we want to implement, we need to have some deliberate and planned interventions to speed up the pace of change. And I believe that the vestry motion is one such intervention. It's going to help bring matters of race and discrimination to the forefront so that we can all reflect on it and try to address things for a better future.
Thank you. As I tried to say in my opening remarks, I really believe that racialized Christians also have a responsibility in this process to reach across our differences of race, class, and culture to build communities of empathy, support, and solidarity. What are some of the ways that Black and brown people, Black and brown women, might work together to advance God's kingdom on earth?
So people of all backgrounds, not just Black and brown, I think all of us should work together in the service of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was the greatest example of inclusivity. We have to all work together with open hearts and open minds and be trusting and forgiving. Sometimes I feel we who belong to racialized communities have our own preconceived notions and about how people perceive us. We also have our own share of biases. Mm-hmm. No one is perfect. But we are all Christians first. And I think the first step would be for all of us to reflect on our own shortcomings so that we can help understand each other better, build bridges, and all become part of a solution. And this is not easy, but all of us have to work together.
Thank you so much. Craig, in introducing yourself, you identified yourself as falling into the category of the privileged dominant group in Canada. Mm-hmm. What is the meaning and significance of the vestry motion for you and perhaps even the Anglican Church?
Well, firstly, thank you to you, Andrea, and to Nancy for sharing your wisdom, and I feel quite inspired by it. I guess my thinking, as a parishioner here from my background, this is a big undertaking, as you said, Nancy. It is not a short-term project, and this is the start of a journey. Hopefully it'll be a lifetime for me, and it should be intergenerational for the parish. It's going to be very hard, continuous work, and we're going to have to keep up our courage, energy, and resources, and more importantly, our commitment to this mission. I have to admit that I am afraid that we will encounter among us what has become labeled as white fragility. I am afraid some of us will turn off and turn away, and some may even leave the parish because we feel unfairly attacked or misunderstood. We will hear and learn some things about ourselves that make us very uncomfortable and that we don't want to hear or admit. I admit that I have these feelings sometimes. We have been shown, however, that racism, bias, and white supremacy and exclusion is built into so many systems that underpin our world around us and that we live surrounded by it. This is what has been called systemic bias or racism, and sometimes to us it feels like a buzzword or slogan. But some call this systemic race discrimination and racism to be the greatest form of evil in the world. Some religious writers argue that this is one of Jesus's and St. Paul's most important insights and messages, this primal evil in our society. How can we even expect not to be implicated in some ways, despite our best efforts and goodwill? But I also know God loves me, even as I fall short, and that our God loves everybody the same way He loves me and each of us. And we can make it through together if we just recognize that love of God and pass it on and learn to receive it back from the community around us. So I pray for myself to be open to this process and to grow spiritually, and I will do my best to ensure that we as a parish move forward with this motion and this journey of discernment in a non-judgmental, supportive, respectful, and loving way.
Thank you, Craig. You talked about the scope of the work that needs to be done and the challenges that lie ahead. What would success look like for you?
Success. I find an inspiring convergence of our mission with the parable of the mustard seed in Mark's Gospel reading today. The cultivating inclusion and rooting out bias and racism will lead to incredible growth in St. George, both in our numbers and diversity of parishioners and in the range of community's activities and our touch points with the community, some of them led by St. George parishioners and others by community partners. And this sounds to me very much like what we're trying to do under our current Mission Action Plan efforts. And yes, I see inclusiveness as being a major part of our Mission Action Plan efforts. And I know that by facing down and wrestling my own biases, I will grow closer to Christ, and by growing closer and better understanding our neighbors and fellow human beings. And I think this will be true for all of us. This is what Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians as well. And of course, we will be truly carrying out our Christian mission of reaching out and embracing the world and supporting the world. Andrea, I just want to make a call, an appeal to everybody listening today. We have a parish launch group just to help people start this mission. Please, we would need everybody's input as to what activities we should be doing to make this process go forward. Do we want study groups, book readings, speakers meetings, meetings with other communities? What do you think, and will you help out and let us know? And thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Craig. And Nancy, I'm going to close with a final question to you. It's really the same question. So what do you want from this mission for yourself, the community, and for St. George? What would success look like for you?
St. George and Young is a small congregation, and I think we are well on our way to translating that vestry motion into action here at St. George and Young. I'm so proud of the fact that our congregation is quite diverse, as is our leadership. My hope is that we will be able to attract more members of all backgrounds, and so that we ultimately become a representation of this beautiful community.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I agree with you, Nancy. I think that there is a way forward. It is hard work, but it's not impossible work. And I think that if we are guided, as I tried to say earlier, by compassion, by humility, knowing that sometimes we will get it wrong, but that is part of the learning, and by love, that we will find that way forward, because it is the heart of God, and we are called to follow that heart. And so I really commend you in this work. I encourage the parish to be engaged, to reach out, and to do that heavy lifting, because it will lead to something that will be of value to all of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you, Andrea.